You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has been open for around about 45 minutes, so it's time for the opening with Greg Davies, Chief Trader at Kratos Capital. Greg, last night the S&P was down 96 points, the Dow Jones was 800 points plus down, and yet I think it seems to me that the JSE Securities Exchange's all-share index was preempting this move because we're more or less flat today.
Yes, I mean, I think you're running ahead of that because obviously yesterday we traded the whole day with our eyes on the Dow futures. Actually, to be honest, it was never as bad as that while we were open.
No, it wasn't.
But as you say, there was just relentless selling yesterday, and everyone was, even in the morning, exactly what you're saying, when it was expected to be up, we were down, almost predicting a weaker down the following night.
How do you think that happens? Do you think that the international fund managers are saying to themselves, they send a note to the emerging market desk in London and they say, listen, get out of the JSE today because we're going to be whacking the Dow and the S&P and the Nasdaq later on. Do you think it works like that?
You'd like to think it's as sophisticated as that, but I don't think so. Because, you know, markets are, sort of, especially at the moment, sort of quite chaotic, like a battlefield. You just never know what's going to happen next. I think what's also helping is the Dow futures is up about 140, so the market today looking a little greener today.
Yes.
Perhaps saying we've done enough work on the downside. Let's see what bargains we can pick up here in this market.
Yeah, so the S&P's up around about 0.2% at the moment, and the Dow futures, as you quite rightly say, are close to 150 points better. But, so maybe it was just a moment in time. But it was fairly ugly at one point. It was quite nerve-wracking because the selling was relentless. There was no mercy shown.
Yes, and that's the nature of these things these days, these gigantic downward moves. And because, you know, these algos are doing the trading, they don't have a concept of you know how much they're pushing the share prices down, and they're all trying to do the same thing. So you get it was like a panic for the exits with the selling, and you know, it's contagious. Everybody sees the selling, and you know, you were thinking of buying the stocks. Well, let's just wait for tomorrow. Then you see people pulling off bids and so on.
Okay, we've got some results out today. We've had 7:05 this morning. Goldfields Limited unaudited results for the interim period ended 30th of June. Greg.
Yeah, what I always look at on the Goldfields numbers is my favorite story in the whole gold space is South Deep.
Yes.
It's a mine that's been passed from people to people. At one point, run by the great late Brett Keble. But I see production's a little bit lower there. The costs are a little bit higher. So it's still not living up to its promises, which we've been hearing for the last 20 years. HEPS was within guidance, and the dividend up 200% to 60 cents a share.
You called Brett Keble great. You also seem to embrace Donald Trump as well as a great person, a tremendous person. I'm sort of sensing a pattern here.
Well, I'm saying he did have a big impact on the market at his time.
Yes.
I remember being at the old stock exchange, and there was a place to go and get coffee upstairs called the Juicy Lucy.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And then we'd pop in there, and I'd see Brett, and he would say, what price is Western here? Those days I wasn't known as the digger yet, and I would tell him, buy me 10,000. So I'd go back to the floor, buy them. Those days you had 14 days to pay. Fast forward to 14 days later, no money appeared. I would go down to the floor to sell the shares and bump into three other guys trying to do the same thing.
Do you know, I interviewed Brett Keble once, and I've still got the recording of it, and I said to him, you know, certain people are making these allegations against you, and they're saying this and that, and he just said to me, blah, blah, fish paste.
It's a pretty good answer.
Yeah, it's not a bad answer.
It's a Trump type.
I don't know what it means, but anyway.
Don't know.
That's an extraordinary story, what happened to that fellow. Anyway, what's happened to the Goldfield share price this morning after these results, these interims?
Yes, down 1.8%, trading R87.99. I did note in that massive sell-off that we had on the Tuesday afternoon, you know, when the gold pulled back sharply. The gold index dropped 10%, the gold fields dropped 15%. So it seems to be sort of almost the most liquid, the most volatile of the stocks, down 2.4% today, ahead of the gold index, which is down just 2%. So combination of probably the lower gold, you know, prospects for gold shorter term not looking as rosy, you know, for the short term punters, and perhaps his results a little bit disappointing.
And your results out for a company called ARB, Greg, and it says key financials, revenue up 4.5% to $2.7 billion, just over $2.7 billion. Headline earnings per share down nearly 19%. Dividend per share maintained at 25 cents. That's good. Paid dividends. Cash on hand of $181 million. After paying dividends, capital expenditure and acquisitions of $317 million. What do you know about ARB?
Yeah, not a lot. I'm desperately typing on my Google here.
I can sense your panic, actually.
Yeah. Just looking, they did have a trading statement on the 6th of August. So you pop from just glancing at that, these results are exactly in line with what they gave us 2 weeks ago. The share price hasn't traded today. It's buyers at R3.52, sellers at R4.20. The last trade was R4.20. It's got a market cap of just under a billion rand.
Yeah, and it's a sponsoring broker or sponsoring financial institution is Grindrod Bank Limited, which is unusual.
It is unusual, yeah. I've not seen that a lot, yeah.
No, I haven't seen that either. Let's have a look at what's happening. Maybe, Greg, I shall just get off my Stock Exchange News Service announcements because there's nothing more, and get straight onto the data, because it is a strange day, because we seem to be out of sync with the rest of the markets. We're either a leader or a laggard, it seems to me, and I'd like to think we're a leader. And I like the Rand. Despite what's happened in Argentina this week, despite the risk-off trade, as evidenced by what happened on Wall Street last night, the Rand is very steady this morning at 15.28 against the US dollar, relatively steady. Against the British pound, it's 18.46. Against the euro, it's 17.04. The euro dollar is barely changed at 111.50. Let's have a look at the gold price. 15.11 down 5. The platinum price is 8.43 down a couple. And the palladium price is what, Greg Davies?
Up 5.5 to 14.33.
The Brent crude oil price is up 31 cents per barrel at $59.43. And if we have a look at the carnage that was Wall Street last night, the Dow Jones was down just over 800 points. The S&P was down 86 points, but the futures down 96. NASDAQ was down 3%, which is a really big move. FTSE today down 0.25%. DAX up 0.2. Not much going on elsewhere. Nikkei down 1.2%. But Greg, we've been spared the worst. Does that mean you think that we're, again, predicting what's going to happen on Wall Street? In other words, we're slightly better, so therefore Wall Street will be slightly better later.
Yes, and probably could argue that ahead of this Wall Street sell-off, we had been quite weak anyway. Looking at the stats, as foreigners have been quite big sellers of our shares, which is reinforce your point that the Rand is actually quite strong. I know people would say, what you're talking about, 15.26. Mm. But it, as you say, compared to its emerging market peers and certainly to the Argentinian situation, we look like superstars.
Yeah, indeed. Maybe some of that PepsiCo money is coming in. That's got to be fed into the market at some point. Maybe that's the reason for our relative outperformance. I mean, let's face it, it was 13.75, 13.80 6 weeks ago. It's now been, and it has been, to 15.50 in after-hours trading one day this week. But no, 15.28. I'll take that. What about the top performers today, Greg?
You often speak to Dwight's old brokers that will say to you, in a big sell-off, and it's obviously scary and everyone's lost money, but the ones which are the really big ones is when the market tanks and the Rand tanks. And this, so far, this is telling you that this is a minor blip. It's unpleasant. We're back at 54,000, let's call it. But because the Rand hasn't blown out to 16.50, they're probably telling us this is temporary. The money's not leaving the country. It's probably gone back to some bonds and will probably come back into the equities once people feel more comfortable being in the market.
Let's have a look. Just want to have a look at, I'll do that at the end. That'll be my Lindsay's leak for the day. Let's have a look at the top five major movers to the upside, please, Greg. Over to you.
The major moves upside, yeah, let's just refresh that share net. So I've been in there for a while. But let's have a look. The major up is that stock called Equities, the property counter, that's up 2.3%. Telkom, that's not one you often see, up 1 1/3, 84 Rand 16. British American Tobacco up 1.2%, 564 Rand, that's approaching recent highs. Nepi Rock Castle up 1%, 127.99. Bidcorp up 0.94%.
Yes, indeed. My short British American Tobacco not going too well at the moment, Greg, but I'm going to hang in there because it's being the loss is there for me. I have been ameliorated by Dischem, which I've been short of since 26, and it's now 20 Rand 47, down 2.1%.
Wow, that's
really got tanked. Yeah, at least I've got a 50-50 chance. I think it's about the same, actually. My losses of... I'm a good hedge fund manager, actually. Aspen, this disturbs me. 4.3% weaker to go, Greg. A top of the losers, 66 Rand 56. That's my 15-minute delayed screen.
Yes. I mean, in fact, we saw these levels yesterday, and then as we spoke about on the shadow last night, there was a reasonable recovery. We had, funny enough, ended up down 6.66%. Down 6% at the moment, live right now, trading at 65.38.
Which is the lowest level since when? It must be a 10-year low or something.
Must be that sort of 2008 a crash kind of price since we've last seen these levels.
I'm going to speak to Stephen Seldon and see if he wants to soothe some investor nerves about coming on the 5 o'clock shadow with us.
Rather sad,
Yes, exactly. Sokol Sun down 2.5%, Assol down 2.4%, Dischem 2.1% down. Just give us the update on Dischem, Greg, the latest price. I've got 20.47.
Yeah, I know you're keenly watching. It's trading at 20.50.
Okay.
That's right. It's one of those stocks I took my eye for a few days, and even if you said to me, have a guess where it is, I would have said 22. So it's breaking some big numbers here. It'll break into the teens if it carries on this trend.
Harmony is 44.93, down 2.1%. Maybe give us the JSE indices as we approach the 10 o'clock mark, Greg. So 1 hour of trading.
Yes. The banks up 0.35. The financials up 0.31. Industrials the same, plus 0.31. Retailers down 0.62. Gold index giving up some of yesterday's work, down 2%. Platts down just over 1%. Resources down 0.94. Yeah, it leaves the all shares slightly negative, down 21 points. Actually, when we started the chat, it was actually about 80 or 90 points up, so I've given up that. Just above 54,008. We've done 2.3 billion rands with the trade, so quite a brisk start to the day.
Here's something that interests me. I'm at the moment in Rotterdam, which is which houses Europe's largest port, and I walk across a bridge every single day called the Erasmusbrug. And it's a very beautiful bridge, and you get all the traffic going, all the barge traffic going down from the port of Rotterdam down to other European ports and rivers and all sorts of inland ports, etc. Now, Greg, over the last, I don't know, 3 to 6 months, I walk across the bridge, and normally there's two or three barges going in both directions. But now, I don't know whether it's summer or whether it's just because of the world economic slowdown, the barges are very infrequent, which means that less goods and services are being transported on this mighty Maas River here in Rotterdam from this giant, giant port. And it says here, Maersk CEO, Maersk being the giant logistics company, says no reason to believe current low growth scenario in container shipping will end soon, says risk of recession may further hurt demand in container shipping. Now, I'm talking about barges, but these barges have containers on them, and it tells you something. I mean, this is the sort of thing that is great insight. When you actually go out, you go to a shop and you see how many people they're serving on a Saturday or something, and I'm seeing no barges on the Maas River, or fewer barges.
And it actually reminds me of a story, and it was a friend of ours who was in this article. It was the Financial Mail back in the day, and the journalist asked him, how did you work out that the Rand was going to strengthen? He happens to have a big house on the coast in Cape Town facing the ocean. And he said he saw the boats coming in were empty, and when they were leaving, they were full, obviously. But, I mean, that was the best answer to give, really.
Yeah. Sometimes it really does work just to do your simple, simple homework. And if you're a retail analyst, go out to a shopping center and have a look at which shops are doing well. Incidentally, Greg, I'm speaking to the Truworth CEO at 5 o'clock this evening, so I'll be slightly late with the 5 o'clock shadow, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, I'll listen into that one for sure.
Jolly good. Greg Davies is the chief trader at Kratos Capital, and that was the opening. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox.